Why do relationships with grandparents have to be so complicated and frustrating? Is it like this for everyone, or is the boomer grandparents a special case? This is a tweet that I saw this morning whenever I pulled up Twitter, and I'd kind of like to discuss it a little bit. Hi, I'm Donita with prairie-trail.com. Here on formerly the Real Life on the Prairie podcast, but now the Tin Hat Talks Question the Narrative podcast with Donita and Shelley. Shelley will hopefully be on next week, and I am taking the reins today and going to hopefully answer this question. First, let's just kind of get some definitions down. The baby boomers were the children born after World War II and until the mid-60s. Okay. And then Generation X, which would be mine, were the ones born between the mid-60s to the early 80s. And then the millennials were the ones born in the 80s and early 90s, so 80s and up to around the mid 90s. And then Gen Z are the ones that were born in the mid to late 90s to the early 2010s-ish. Okay, and this all kind of where you fit in the generations kind of depends upon whether or not you were first, second, third, born, where you were in the birth order, as much as anything. I saw this tweet this morning, and I think it's an issue that a lot of the newer generations, this is obviously, a newer generation is what I'm thinking. Wait, my phone's giving me the dickens for some reason. Okay, come on, I want to see. So my answer was boomers are more complicated than you might think. They had to fight over the length of their hair and or wearing pants. They paved the way for all the diversity we have today. Sometimes it worries them to see how far it goes. Okay, now if you're a boomer, let me know if I've pegged that. Because my husband's a boomer, and he is the 1957 model, and he has just come into grandfatherhood a little later than some. But I've seen how things that are happening today and the way young people are doing today are does worry him. There's things like, why all the tattoos, full arm tattoos. He's like, why? What is this? They don't understand why some of these things are happening. He was one of those ones that struggled wanting to have his hair a little longer. He would have actually liked to have had long hair. One of our sons has longer hair. He has that beautiful Native American hair from my side of the family. My husband has Scottish hay on his head, and whenever it gets about so long, then it starts to break off. And so in my hair also, I missed that gene for my hair. It grows about so far, and then that's about it. It's just kind of one of those things. But I remember my mother talking. She wasn't very much older than my husband. I remember her talking about the skirts. They could only wear skirts to school. Girls could. They couldn't wear pants. And mini skirts started to come in style. Well, your skirts had to be, mom wanted your skirt to be X long. She wasn't going to send you to school in a mini skirt. So they would roll up their waistband to make their skirt shorter. I have no idea what that made their waist look like, having a rolled up waistband. Most of those would have been probably homemade skirts. They wore homemade clothes. I remember my grandmother made for my uncle and some of his friends these denim vests made out of old blue jeans, and she fringed the bottom of the vests, and they had like a patchwork, quilty kind of a look to them. And those guys loved them. So they wore the hair down to their shoulders. They wore, the bell bottoms, and they wore, things that were not polished. I mean, you look at the 40s, 50s, and there's a very polished look. Everybody wore suits. I mean, women wore a hat, whenever they left the house. It was much more formal. Just every day was more formal. Sometimes they would dress for dinner in the evening. And then you come into, the 60s and 70s, and these kids are like, we're tired of this. I don't want to have to wear a suit. They're uncomfortable. I don't want to wear a tie. I want my hair to be longer, things like that. And, they broke out of a mold that people had been in through the World Wars and the Depression. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy. I know some of the dads were like, don't come back to the house. Don't come to visit unless until you cut your hair. It was tough. So, the girls were wanting to start wearing pants, and the guys were wanting to wear their hair longer, and they were wanting to loosen up. And with that came marijuana and the potheads and things like that. There was a lot going on, right? So what was cool during that day? I mean, we could go into the whole sexual revolution and lots of other things happening during this time. And they were seeing some inconsistencies with the government and after Korea and then Vietnam, and there were problems, okay? There were problems. And that's what these people came out of. So then you go Generation X, and we saw our aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, whatever, sometimes parents. I was teen pregnancy from the baby boomers. And I saw what my parents and my aunts and uncles were doing. I saw the drugs, and I saw the abuse, and I saw, some of the struggles that were happening and how it broke their parents' hearts, what was happening with them. And so our generation, Generation X, those of us that grew up in the 80s, we're looking for, and a lot of us anyway, I can't say everybody, there were the punks, quote unquote, the punks. But for the most part, I mean, what you see in the pictures and on Pinterest of 80s dress wasn't how we dressed every day, okay? For the most part, we were going a different direction. And I forgot to, mention the baby boomers. The girls wanted their hair short, and that was some of them. And then you get to the Generation X, and a lot of the girls of Generation X started to have their hair much shorter than what, norm would have been. But we had a desire to go back more toward a more elegant, more sophisticated. So we started emulating Victorian type things. So you will see outfits with puffed sleeves and big lace collars and baggy. We didn't go, some of us wore skirts and dresses. And if we did, we liked really full skirts and dresses. But sometimes instead it was baggy pants because it gave that hourglass look like the Victorian period, okay? So we were emulating that, and I hear people go back and just make fun of the Gen X and how we dressed, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. A lot of those people are really into historical costume and reconstruction, and it's like, wait a minute, you're making fun of our clothes, and that's what we were trying to do. We were basically history bounding before it was a thing, right? So, we saw the drugs, and in the 80s, they started the say no to drugs type thing. So I know whenever I graduated high school, I did not know anybody in our class that did drugs, at all. There might have been one or two, but they kept it pretty quiet. It was not cool. Whereas my husband's class in 1976, what had been known up to that point as the worst druggie class they had had at this school, at the same school. I know just a few years later, drugs got really bad again. And then the next generation, the millennials, started with the, crack and different things like that. And it got really bad again. And then you have the millennials that they're mostly children of the baby boomers and the older generation X, okay? So by this time, now the baby boomers, mom was usually home, okay? Whenever they got home from school, mom was there with cookies and how was your day and whatnot. Generation X, usually mom was not home and she was working outside of the home. There weren't very many parents that went to ball games or activities with us. We were considered latchkey kids. We went to school, we went home, we did our chores, we did our homework, and we went out, run around with our friends, and then we came home and popped a pot pie in the oven or fixed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Okay, we took care of ourselves, basically, for the most part. The millennials, it was kind of it's a little bit of a mixture because you've got the baby boomers who mom and dad were home, but they didn't approve of anything that I did. And the baby boomers kind of checked out, in a lot of ways. And so for parenting, they just kind of tend to have an attitude of let's just let the kids do what they're going to do until it crosses some invisible line that I have, and then we're going to have a problem, right? Where the Gen X parents, we were not mothered as much, were not parented as much, and so a lot of my generation overmothered. And they're there for their children for every little thing. And the helicopter moms type of thing, right? And so we're very careful with our children. We're totally involved with what's going on, or we're just, hovering. Yeah. And I've seen these moms. And then you start having children who start having all of these, all of the sudden. These millennials all have an allergy to something, okay? If not everything, they're allergic to everything, right? And I'm not gonna really pull up the whole why that happens. If you're listening to this, hopefully you do understand why, but I'm not going to get docked for saying what it is. But all of the sudden, these millennials. They're allergic to everything. They've got all kinds of issues. And then you've got the Gen X moms that are all of a sudden coming down with a lot of autoimmune diseases and stuff. And at first, in the early 90s, we had no clue what was going on. Very few doctors were diagnosing autoimmune disease. So, the baby boomers, their moms were all put on Valium and Prozac anytime there was anything wrong. So I definitely knew people in my family who were on Valium and Prozac for probably too long periods of time, okay? And then in the Gen X, it was like, I know my family didn't take me to the doctor unless I was gushing blood. And so I had injuries, and I know a lot of my friends as well. We had injuries that nobody knew about for, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years. They don't know about these injuries, about what's happening. We were manhandled and we were let loose to do whatever. So, and if you got hurt, you got in trouble. So you didn't want to tell somebody if you got hurt. You just patched yourself up the best you could. So we get into these millennials and they've got all these allergies. Mom's got these autoimmune diseases. Dad's got, we've all got issues, okay, guys? We've all got issues. So, and they're not understanding why each generation is not understanding what's going on. And then you have the Gen Z children that have grown up with the devices constantly. And they don't know a world without a computer or a cell phone. And everything, I mean, all the information they could ever want, need, or don't need is at their fingertips. And where I had three channels on the TV of snow to look through to try to watch Little House on the Prairie or The Muppets, or The Dukes of Hazzard. Today, anything is available. So these children don't understand lack. They don't understand need. They don't understand. They're bored all the time. Have you noticed that? That if they don't have a device or a game or a short video going all the time, they're bored out of their wad. You take them outside and they have no idea what to do. Now, I'm not lumping everybody in on this, okay? We're all different and all families have different dynamics. But what got us to this point that we have these, that we can even name the generations in this way, right? Because you don't hear anything like that before the baby boomers. And the baby boomers were only named the baby boomers because there was a lot of them. There was a lot of babies born in that year period of time. Okay. The men came home from war and the women missed them and there was babies. Okay. And that's okay. That's absolutely fine. I'm very grateful for some of the baby boomers. I'm drinking my coffee here. So what happened? Well, you had the Great Depression. And before the Great Depression, you had the Roaring Twenties and, everything's awesome. And then you have the Great Depression. You have the World War, the Roaring Twenties, and then the Great Depression. And people during the Great Depression, well, I remember one local, lovely, lovely woman who showed this little, she made a model of the home that she grew up in, which was a shack, okay? It was a shack. There was a lot of those out here. And it was the shack, but she had it so cute. I mean, just think about those cute little fairy house type things that you can see on Pinterest, and the little, it was adorable. There's roses and there's flowers and different things all around it. And it just, it looked cozy. Okay. And she's explaining how growing up in this little shack, she said, we didn't have anything. We had very little growing up, but she said it was a hard life, but it was a good life. And she had this twinkle in her eye when she said it that I will never forget. It was a hard life, but it was a good life. They had multiple generation family. Grandparents were living with them, and they were close knit, and they were struggling through the Depression together, and they were better for it. You know, the problem is that generation grew up with this idea that I'm going to make life better for my children so that they don't struggle and it's not as hard for them as what it was for me. So a lot of them moved to town. You have these little cookie cutter houses that were built in the 50s, that, you know, that they are all basically the same, just each one's a different color or something. And you see it sometimes in the movies, the little cookie cutter houses, and the TV shows. I know there's been some recently that have showed that type of a scenario. These little neighborhoods were built with these little cookie cutter houses, and they moved into town, and dad got a job at a factory or whatever, so that he could make life better for his family than what it was whenever he grew up. And mom did her little beaver cleaver thing and took care of the home and was there for the children. And, you know, they did their life. Well, the baby boomers grew up and they're looking at this little cookie cutter house that they grew up in that they've got happy memories about, right? And they're like, I want to make life better for my children than what I had growing up. So a lot of them didn't just move to town, they moved to the city. And they go to college, some of them went to college, got, you know, some kind of a career, and get a bigger house, something a little more snazzy than what mom and dad had. And plus, you know, they're trying to make mom and dad proud of they're making a better life for their family, right? So in order to pay for all that, well, you know, wife needs to, and of course we've gone through the sexual revolution, that she needs to go to college and she needs to have a career too. So she gets a job as well. So then you have us generation X, mom and dad's not home. And yeah, we may have a little bigger house. I didn't have that, but, you know, it may be a little fancier house or whatever, but, you know, the family hardly ever sees each other. We may have supper together in the evenings. Everybody's scrambling for breakfast in the mornings, and then maybe church on Sundays. A lot of people had that, and maybe the lake on Saturday or something, you know, so, And it just kind of keeps going. So the generation X, well, I want it better for my children. So I'm going to go ahead and maybe, you know, get the education and get the career and everything. But I'm going to be there for my children for every little thing that they do. And so she is worn out, absolutely worn out, because she's trying to keep up with a 9-to-5 on top of all of the activities and stuff that her children are doing in the afternoons and the weekends. She's taking them to dance lessons and soccer practice and this and that. And they're busy, busy going all the time, right? And in order to pay for all these extra activities and the clothes for them, because maybe she didn't get to have nice clothes whenever she was growing up, so her kids need to have nicer clothes and be more in style because she wasn't able to do, I don't know, even know if there was an in style in Gen X, if we even had an in style. We had little bits of in style, but, you know, compared to today. And so dad's got to put in extra hours and try to climb the ladder and put extra into work and things like that. And divorce, in all this time, divorce is just skyrocketing. So you have today that you've got these Gen Z kids, the millennials and the Gen Z kids. Most of them do not know a strong, knit, functioning family unit scenario. They don't. It's his, hers, and ours. Their parents are divorced, sometimes more than once, and they've got stepbrothers and half-brothers and sisters going on, and they just, you know, it's broken. So, back to the, you know, sweet person on Twitter that is asking this question. And I obviously have no idea what the relationship between this person and their grandparents is that's making it complicated and frustrating. I have no idea for sure how old this person is. They're just saying that they've got boomer grandparents. And I would just, you know, and I don't know if this person is a believer or if their grandparents are believers, you know, so there's so many factors that can be causing this relationship to be complicated and frustrating. And I feel bad because I had a wonderful relationship with my grandparents. I did not realize how dysfunctional my family unit was until much later. And, you know, that's a blessing from the Lord that I was able to really think that things with my grandparents were pretty wonderful. Because things with my parents weren't, you know, being a teenage pregnancy and having parents in alcohol and drugs and, you know, fighting their own battles was very difficult. But my grandparents were my stability, and visiting them was the best part of my childhood. So I hate that this person is having that problem with their grandparents. And I wonder what their relationship with their parents is as well. And I wonder, you know, what all's going on. But there's such a difference between the generations today and what they were fighting against at their time. You know, the boomers were fighting against a societal expectation of suits and ties and dressing up for every little thing and having your shoes shined anywhere you went and wearing a hat and having your hair a certain length and girls wearing, you know, skirts and having long hair and guys just wanting to wear jeans and t-shirts and have their hair a little bit longer. And it's gone from that to some of the issues that young people have today, that, you know, the boomers looking at this are wondering, what on earth did we start? They never would have thought. And so, you know, if you're struggling with a boomer parent-grandparent situation, I would suggest the best way probably to deal with it is to ask them what it was like for them when they were growing up. What kind of music did they listen to, and did their parents approve of it? How did they wear their hair? And did their parents approve of it? You know, what were some of the things that they struggled with at that stage in their lives? And maybe you will begin to understand where they're at today and why they're so worried about you. So, I think that's all of my rant and rambling today. Hopefully, Shelly will be on soon. We are going to be meeting next week and getting her all set up, and I'm quite excited about it and excited to see what all she's going to add to the podcast. I know it's going to be really, really fun. Our information will be in the description below. I will have her information there so you can go ahead and look her up. She's on YouTube and have some wonderful fun stuff there. And if you haven't subscribed to the magazine, pop on over to prairie-trail.com. We've got the magazine right there at the top. And if you don't think the magazine is for you or you can't really afford that right now, go just a little bit further down and sign up for our newsletter, and it'll keep you up to date on when the podcasts and the videos and things come out. And so I'm looking forward to hearing any comments or anything that y'all might have. And we will see y'all later. And remember, you can make it through the dust storms of life with God's divine help.